This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind Archives.
Give me a hand. Jacqueline McKenzie, ladies and gentlemen. Take a bow. A 10-year-old who just experienced her 40th birthday. What a sharp gal. Well, we're all social animals, and we need to communicate with other people, and we do it all the time. And there are several forms of communication. There is verbal communication. We do this by talking to people in person, and of course, by the phone. There's nonverbal communication, and we do that by communicating by fax, by the internet, and sometimes by hand gestures. There's even graphic communication, which sometimes takes the form of hand gestures. Graphic communication that we see on billboards, on buses, in airports, we see it everywhere. My God, Los Angeles has more billboards than any town I've ever been in. But as far as talking goes, scientific evidence suggests that human beings have been jabbering away for quite some time now. The theory is that mankind's vocal abilities have always been present. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that we were trading verbal insults with the tribe down the river when we first appeared here. But you could say that we weren't too far away from doing exactly that. Yes, humanity has evolved from the Stone Age to the Space Age. But every day, people around the world are getting themselves in trouble for what they say, for the way they talk, especially for the way they talk to themselves. Now, what we say to ourselves determines what our lives will be like, because thought impresses a principle within us that responds by changing the combination of all of our thoughts into our experience. The title of my talk this morning is Talk Your Way Out of the Experience. I think if we look at life closely, there are experiences we need to talk ourselves into and out of. I doubt if there's a person alive who hasn't spent some time talking their way out of trouble. And I would guess there are just as many times when we talk our way into some experience. I know I've done both. We need to use the power of our thought to accomplish something. And many times what we do is intend something new for ourselves by talking ourselves into it, by thinking different thoughts on a continuous basis and trying never to contradict them. If this sounds impossible, it's only because you've not yet made the connection between thought and experience. And if you haven't, that's okay. One day you will. An example. I can talk myself out of limitation and into prosperity by thinking thoughts which embody prosperity and keep from thinking thoughts of limitation. You know, thinking and talking to ourselves is a spiritual tool because it's spirit impressing itself with ideas. We talk to ourselves and assert the creative energy of our own conscious minds. That's where spirit is. Why? We want to change our experience. We talk our way out of some experience and into another. We talk ourselves out of loneliness and into perfect companionship. Out of sickness into health. Out of not having a good life to having exactly that, a good life. Your ability to talk your way out of what works against you is your best friend, which means you are your own best friend. when you talk yourself out of thinking constantly about what's wrong with you, when you talk yourself out of letting your mind wander through fields of negativity, how many mistakes you've made, how many opportunities you've missed. We have all made mistakes. We've all most probably missed opportunities. But to talk yourself out of focusing on them and feeling bad about them is the best friend you've ever had, which means it's you. You're your own best friend when you talk yourself out of getting loaded, getting drunk, being depressed, living in the past, seeking other people's approval. You're your own best friend when you talk yourself out of functioning as a desperate, semi-desperate, or even slightly desperate human being. You see, the only person whoever feels desperate is because that person has forgotten that they can depend on a divine principle to change their experience. But that means that person must go inside of themselves where the principle is and think about, what is it like to have a principle in me, to represent a principle that responds to me when I think into it, when I think, that changes my experience? What is it like? What does it mean? How does it feel? Ask yourself these questions and you will come up with answers that might say, as I have said to myself in the past, well, I'm not sure how it feels, but if it's true, I'm glad it's there because I know how to change my thought. Well, you're your own best friend when you talk yourself out of feeling sorry for yourself, depending on someone else for your good, and looking for someone to blame for what's in your life. It may be a hard pill to swallow, my friends, but we must always remember that we are responsible for our own experience. And sometimes it is a hard pill to swallow because we look at our experience and we want nothing to do with it. Well, that's good that we want nothing to do with it. But it's not until we make that connection between thought and experience that we're in a position to talk ourselves into something better. You're your own best friend when you talk yourself out of thinking thoughts that make you angry, thinking thoughts that make you regret, thinking thoughts that leave you with a consciousness of hostility, resentment, envy, bitterness, and pain. I thought about all these things this week, and I don't know if I've experienced any of them or all of them 100%, but I do know this. I've had a little touch of all of them. Just a little bit of bitterness, just a little bit of anger, a little bit of regret. Well, I got to talk myself out of it. And I have, and I'm aware that I have at times. But I'm also aware of the times that I haven't, because I didn't take assertive action. All these things may seem like reasonable reactions to life, but the truth is, they all work against us. And we will fare better in life if we can talk ourselves out of all of them. Before I leave the subject of pain, I want to clear up a very important issue. There's a theory that for pain to be alleviated, it must be felt, and felt big time. This is like believing we must go to the bottom before we can change our experience, change our direction. Well, we don't have to experience pain to get rid of it. That isn't to say that we cannot experience pain and move beyond it. But pain, in and of itself, never brought any form of good to anyone, because pain doesn't heal. A consciousness of wholeness is what heals. See, we're not like most people. We're metaphysicians. And if you can't quite call yourself a metaphysician yet, because you're not really sure what place that nomenclature plays in your life, just realize every time you think above some experience, every time, no matter how small you do it, You go beyond what's happening in your life, looking for something better, even looking for something better. You are dealing metaphysically with an issue. Metaphysicians not only know what they have to talk themselves out of, but they know what they have to talk themselves into. So, we must talk ourselves into freedom from pain by surrendering ourselves to wholeness and completeness. You are whole and complete, and you can't make yourself whole. All you can do is realize that you've always been whole. No experience has ever tampered with you. No experience, no matter how devastating it seems, and no matter how much you seem to have brought it on yourself, has tampered with one bit of your real nature. Well, how do we get rid of these negativities? By throwing ourselves in that limitless sea of mind that represents all possibility. Is that easy to do? Well, not always. But if it seems to be a hard thing to do, it's usually because we fluctuate between believing that our thought has power and not believing that our thought has power. Depending on divine principle and then not depending on divine principle. But see, Jesus wrapped it all up by saying, it's done unto you as you believe. Simple. Simple science of mind. It's done unto you as you believe. You see, the word thought didn't exist as such back then. And in fact, it was too much of a subtle idea, I think, for people to grasp. But somehow the word belief was in Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke, and that they could grasp. The idea that what they believe to be true will outpicture in their experience. It's the same issue, really. In short, we must talk ourselves into the experience we want to have, no matter what it is. Not wait around for someone else to talk us into it. Why is that important? Because just as the key to your home is probably in your pocket right now, the key to your life is in the way you use the creativity of your own mind. No one else can do it but you. Emerson wrote this when he said, the key to every man is his thought. The key to your life is your thought. Start by arming yourself with the most potent statement ever. And we started out last week with that statement, which is, I can do this. With this I can do this consciousness, ask yourself, all right, I can do this, whatever it is. Now, what am I looking at? Let's say you want to have more available money in your life because you know that feeling of being financially limited, the feeling of being financially limited is destructive, but you don't know how to do it. Well, this morning you're learning you've got to talk yourself into a consciousness of prosperity. So start by telling yourself, I can do this. Just say those simple words with me. I can do this, whatever you're confronting this week in your life, and you feel a little flummoxed by it. Just say, I can do this. Again, I can do this. And then follow this affirmation with ideas that back it up. Affirm thoughts like, my thoughts and feelings are creative because my mind is some part of the very creative mind of God, and I have the ability to use that mind to benefit myself. But I now know that what I've got to do is create new thoughts and new feelings. Feeling financially limited creates financially limiting experiences. Rather than inspire us, they depress us. Rather than encourage, they discourage. Now, how do we go about talking ourselves out of feeling financially limited into feeling financially prosperous? Dr. Holmes gave us one cue. He says, treatment is a series of affirmations and denials for the purpose of building up in our minds the one treating, a state of realization and acceptance. So I want to be financially free. So I've got to build up in my mind, build up my mind to a point of realization and acceptance. Realization and acceptance of what? Of prosperity being normal. Not a gift from God, not a gift from heaven, not a gift at all, because prosperity is not an outer thing except as an effect of a cause that we set up in mind. This doesn't mean that we slap down one affirmation and expect our whole lives to change. Why? Because we've got to build up a consciousness of prosperity by talking ourselves out of every thought of limitation we can think of into thoughts that represent affluence. After all, how long did it take for us to build up a consciousness of limitation? And you see, it's not so much that we have to spend an equal amount of time building a consciousness of prosperity. It's just that we must be willing to keep doing our mental work until we arrive at a consciousness and subconscious acceptance of prosperity as normal to us. We look at rich people, affluent people, and somehow, with some of them in any case, we think, you know, being rich suits them well. They wear it with style, not just clothes, the whole consciousness of prosperity. Can we think of ourselves that way? Can we think of ourselves as a prosperous being right now, not dependent on money, not dependent on nice clothes, not dependent on being rich outwardly, but being rich inwardly? So we talk ourselves out of feeling limited by presenting to our own minds a series of affirmations and denials. What might they be, you ask? Well, what's the opposite of feeling limited? Feeling unlimited, but here's the kicker, without needing money to get that feeling, ooh, or even the promise of money, without having to add or subtract anything. You see, prosperity is more than the presence of money. That's the smallest part of it. We don't make it the smallest part of it. We make it the only part of it. Prosperity equals money. Money equals prosperity. But actually, prosperity is a state of mind, a way of being in the world that isn't dependent on money, isn't dependent on anything. So the only change that needs to take place is a change in consciousness. I might start by telling myself, I feel good about being exactly who I am. That's called an affirmation, short and pithy. Why do I have the right to feel good about being exactly who I am? Because I am one with the power that created all there is. I am its wholeness, I am its completeness, I am its perfection, I am its ability to create, I am its affluent expression as a human being. Not because I am worthy, but because there's nothing I've ever done or am doing that could make me unworthy. Prosperity is not a moral issue, unless you make it one. I was thinking this last week, a thought I've thought many times, and it was the good side of the old Catholic confession. Believing you could go somewhere and say to someone through a little box in the confessional, confess your sins, be absolved from them, and walk out of that holy place, it was considered a holy place, and be free of those sins. Now, we don't believe in sin, we don't have confessional, but sometimes I feel that maybe we should reinvent confession for us. Why? Because we need to be absolved. And if you don't absolve yourself from what you think you did wrong, you just may be holding it against yourself by not being prosperous. That's the truth. You don't deserve to be prosperous. You don't deserve to be rich because you've done some wrong in your life. Now, I know that feeling. I've had it. My leftover Catholicity, if there's such a word, Catholicity, left me feeling that way. I don't deserve this experience. So now I moved into metaphysics, and I'm now starting to understand, I'm saying to myself, that I'm the cause of my own experience. But I can't quite cause prosperity because I've done so much in my life that is unholy, that is not worthy of being rewarded with prosperity. That's the biggest load of muck I've ever heard in my life. But I used to think that way. Prosperity isn't reward. It's not added unto you. You are a prosperous being right now. And nothing you do can make you more prosperous in regards to what you are really, and nothing could make you less. But realizing that we are this prosperity, that is something, it's a state of mind, changes everything. Because then I'm not trying to become prosperous. I am having the courage to be what I already am. So don't make prosperity a moral issue. If you do, you will let your mistakes, or what you think of as your mistakes, keep prosperity from you. What am I doing when I talk this way to myself? I'm building up in my own mind a series of affirmations that will create a realization and acceptance of not becoming, but being prosperity. See, all of us want to become prosperous. We got it all wrong. We don't become prosperous. We become aware that we are already prosperous beings. And then we let ourselves build that up in our own minds still till it starts taking the form of money, right opportunities. Even the parking space appears when we need one. If it takes money to make you feel prosperous, you don't have the idea. Repeat that. If it takes money to make you feel prosperous, you haven't yet gotten the idea. Prosperity is a quality, an inner quality of being. And if you want, and if we want it as an experience, we must be it in mind. If you want prosperity as an experience, you must be it in mind. If you're waiting for the climate of the nation's economy to change before you think of yourself as prosperous, you'll be waiting long after it does, and it will change. And there you'll be, still wanting to be prosperous when everything is changing around you. Why? Because something didn't change in you. You're still expecting prosperity to be added unto you rather than having the guts to accept yourself as prosperity. I am prosperity. I am prosperity. Say it with me. I am prosperity. Now you can say I'm prosperous being or some ramification of this idea. But stop wanting it to appear. It's appeared in you already. God's work is done. It's time to build up in our own minds an inner realization and acceptance of this truth. I might affirm the power that I'm one with is an affluent power, filled with infinite substance. This means I am affluence itself. I am one with all substance. It's not something that's gonna happen, it's happening now. Feel it. Let yourself realize that your prosperity this moment, and talk yourself into these ideas and ideas that are similar to this. Our textbook is riddled with ideas that support this idea. And remember, you're not just reading words, you're not just saying words, you're thinking about what the words mean. What does it mean to us when we tell ourselves that we're one with God, that we're complete, whole, and perfect, that we are prosperity? Does it sort of satisfy our religious life? Or does it establish clarity? Are we a little clearer, a little closer to getting it? Getting what? The fact that prosperity is right this moment. If you don't have it now, You can change the recession into a splendid, opulent experience, and it won't make much difference to you because you're not being it now. Don't wait for more money to come down the pike to consider yourself prosperous. More money will come down the pike when you accept yourself as prosperous now. When we hear the nature of our own existence talked about in forms that you just know are true, it should awaken something in us that says, you know, this is true. And because it is, by God, I'm going to start talking myself into it every chance I get. So we set out to talk ourselves out of the feeling of being limited and into the feeling of being prosperous with a series of affirmations and denials. Now, denials are used to further clarify where we are in consciousness. We cannot be a thing and its opposite at the same time. This is what I am. I cannot be that. If this is true, that cannot be true. I am a prosperous being by nature and could not be otherwise. I'll say that, and the next time I say it, you'll say it with me. I am a prosperous being by nature and could not be otherwise. Say it with me. I am a prosperous being by nature and could not be otherwise. Now, that's a dramatic truth. Not because I say it, because that's the way it is. You are a prosperous being by nature and you couldn't be otherwise. Oh, well, that's nice to say, but I'm not experiencing it. Right back to making prosperity. Well, taking it the whole wrong way. The idea is something you are, not something you experience, or better said, it's something you are first and you experience secondly. When you tell yourself that you're a prosperous being, you're not giving yourself a compliment, Gracie. No, no. You're telling yourself an impersonal truth, not a truth that becomes true because you're talking yourself into it, but a truth that has been true all along, your whole life. A truth that has been waiting for you ever so long to acknowledge it and get rid of this idea that you'll feel prosperous when you have more money. No, the time to feel prosperous is right now. Dr. Holmes put it this way. Train yourself to think what you wish to think. Be what you wish to be. Feel what you wish to feel and place no limit on principle. If you don't get anything else out of my talk this morning, remember, if you're trying to experience prosperity, you may not realize it, but you're trying to experience yourself. What you turn in to be, you turn out to see. Thank you. And know that as we do, we're creating not the outer, but the inner acceptance of prosperity. The outer will be added unto us automatically. We let ourselves feel prosperous. It's there already. That feeling of being a have, no longer a have not. And it's not dependent on what we have in the material world. It's dependent on what we're willing to accept ourselves as being. We accept ourselves as being the great have of this universe. We call it God, spirit, mind. We're it right now. And we are turning in to be it, knowing that we can turn out and see it. But we feel it right now. We feel prosperous. Therefore, we find our way to spend, to save, to give, in this wonderful season generously. Because we're prosperity in action. Yes, we're all the rest as well. We're love in action. We're health in action. We're beauty in action, but we are prosperity in action. And everything that we touch our minds to prospers and succeeds because we're willing to talk ourselves into the truth of our own being. This is the truth, and together we say, and so it is. Now let us do our congregational treatment.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.